John chapter 14, and look at two verses very quickly in John chapter 14. I always start off, and I know we're a little longer on time, the four part, but I'll be brief, brother, be brief, is what I will be tonight. John chapter 14, and scale a little bit of back in a little areas, but I do want to give something from God's Word laid on my heart. Hope to be a blessing tonight. I always say this when I come up behind this pulpit, as I always appreciate our pastor and what he is and what he means to me, and never take it lightly for the fact of standing behind this desk and his pulpit, and I greatly appreciate that, and it's honestly an honor. I was telling a few folks that I have big shoes to fill tomorrow. I am headed up to college to preach in chapel as well as take his classes for him, so I will get the full gamut of what pastor does on a weekly basis. And for those of you that think, oh, he just pastors, there's so much more that goes on with our pastor. And I'm just so appreciative of the pastor that he's given us here at Faith Baptist Church. I also want to say, as I open tonight, I just want to say a quick thank you to those staff, the faculty over at the school, and then all those that have helped with pilots this last week. Just the undertaking of what was involved was a lot, and I appreciate Mrs. Kent as well as Mrs. Nemeth heading up the food, and it was great this year, really enjoyed it. And of course, you heard about it, but having three folks saved, that made it all worthwhile for our pilots convention. So two verses there, we'll read it and we'll get right into the message. In John chapter 14, verse 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." I want to preach. The title of the message is the who, the what, and the where about the Holy Spirit. The who, the what, and the where. And let's pray. Father, I thank you again for the opportunity tonight to bring the message. I pray that you would bless what's said. Again, Lord, may you move me out of the way. May you get all the glory and all the honor for anything that's said. And I pray that what does not need to be said, Lord, you take out. And what needs to be added, that you would put in. Lord, may we get something from your word. Lord, we need the Holy Spirit tonight. And I pray that you would bless. In your name we pray. Amen. I've just had this thought on my mind about those verses there, verse 16 and 17. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." Another comforter. Charles Spurgeon once said, "A church in the land without the Spirit is rather a curse than a blessing. If you have not the Spirit of God, Christian worker, remember that you stand in somebody else's way. You are a fruitless tree standing where a fruitful tree might grow." What a great statement, man. I've thought about that. I read, came across that and thought about that thought that I might be standing in the way of somebody else that could be fruitful. And tonight I just want to talk about, preach about the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit can do in the life of an individual, what the Holy Spirit can do in the life of a saved individual, because that's really what it's about. Is somebody unsaved doesn't have the Holy Spirit. They're just not there. But as a Christian, as a saved person, what the Holy Spirit can do. I don't know if you've ever been involved in a game. Maybe you were younger, but they were picking teams. They were trying to decide what team, you know, maybe you were going to be on. And maybe you were in a situation where even they got to the end and they weren't really sure who you were. So they didn't know if you were good at the game, didn't know who, you know, this guy kind of got drug along or she got brought along with somebody else. And they got to the end, it was like, yeah, I'll take that guy. You know, I'll take him. He's the one left over. And you feel like, if you will, that you've been left out. There's a little bit of that feeling of, man, I've been left out. Or maybe you can relate to this illustration. Christmas time. Christmas time growing up in our household when I was younger, it was always leaving St. Louis and we would drive over past Indianapolis over to Marion, Indiana, where my mom grew up, dad grew up, and in Indiana there, we'd have Christmas time with my mom as an only child. And my parents, with a tradition that was started with my grandparents, was we'd have Christmas and opening gifts. And then at the very end, my grandmother would always buy one big gift for each one of the grandkids. And then my grandfather, it was always cash money. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, right? It was always cash money he would give to my parents and then all three of us grandkids. And boy, do I wish they were back and not in heaven anymore. No. They would always have that one gift that was at the end. And you'd always kind of anticipate, you know, that one last gift of, man, it's coming. What is it? Well, that year it rolled around and, you know, my brother, my grandma brings out this gift and my brother and then my sister. And then they came time, you know, what'd you get? You know, after everybody came through, well, I didn't get anything. And I wasn't really disappointed. I was just like, oh, OK, well, maybe it got forgotten. I don't know. My grandmother wouldn't let it rest. She was just, we got you a gift. I know we got you a gift. And I said, well, I don't have it. And she was one of those people that she keeps receipts of everything. I mean, there's got to be boxes of receipts everywhere. She just was in the old school of throwing nothing away. And I remember thinking, you know, to myself, that a little bit of feeling down deep, you know, left out. I kind of got the thought. But later on, weeks later, whenever it was, she was taking down the Christmas tree and found a watch that she had hidden for me in the Christmas tree, because that's where you hide all the gifts. That typically it was back in the back bedroom, but anyway, we found that gift. But being left out, I don't think anybody enjoys being left out, neglected, if you will. And that's what I'm talking about, neglecting the Holy Spirit. Neglecting the Holy Spirit, the who, the what, and the where. In John, I don't have time to read. I was going to read starting in chapter 14 and go through and talk about Jesus and what he was telling his disciples. Sufficient to say that establishing the fact of him talking about the Father and Son, the Father and Son are one. Thomas, the doubting Thomas, he began to question Jesus in verses 5 through 7. He talks about it there. Verse number 5 says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus proceeds to tell him, if he had known me, he should have known my Father also. Kind of rebukes him. Hello, wake up, Thomas, where you been? Philip even goes on and talks about it a little bit there in verses 8 and 9. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He asked him, do you not understand? Are you not familiar with what's going on? And he goes on, talks about the works that have gone on. Do you think that was just, it just happened? No, there was something greater in me. The Father that was in me, it was a part of me. And then he leaves them, or he tells them in verses 16 and on after that, he says, there's another coming. When I leave, I'm going to leave you with the Comforter. We find even in verse 26 who that really is. It says there in verse 26 of the same chapter, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I hath said unto you. He tells them what is coming, what's about to happen in verse 26. You see, the Holy Spirit, that word Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, it's referred to 90 different times in the Old Testament and 260 times in the New. It's talked about, if you will, a lot. So how can we effectively, as Christians, understand the role of the Holy Spirit in a saved, born-again believer's life? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is how can we know that? How can we really understand that? Often a child of God, and maybe we fail at the Holy Spirit working because we won't yield. I think that's one big thing. We won't yield or obey to what the Holy Spirit has for us in our lives. Boy, I heard Brother Allen yesterday as he was praying before we went out, solemnly, he said, Holy Spirit, go before us. Go before us. Talk to those people. If we try on our own might, if we try to do it, it's not going to happen. We have to yield to what God has for us. Brother Potter, you had to yield to what the Holy Spirit was telling you where to go. Boy, it'd be much more convenient to stay and teach it there in Connecticut. But you yielded, and then you obeyed. Well, if I told my kid something to do, hey, I need you to do this. Maybe this week it's been cleaning. It's spring break, get rid of cleaning time. If I told them something to do, if they said, okay, Dad, I'll do it, maybe they yielded, but maybe the second part they didn't do. I told them specifically, here's what you need to do, and then they didn't obey. There's a twofold thing going on there. Not only us yielding to the Holy Spirit, but also obeying the Holy Spirit. There's a recognition, and then there's a follow through. That's what I believe about the Holy Spirit. So I want to look at that tonight, and it's a few points to bring out. The first thing as I get into this is understanding that a Holy Spirit, again, I mentioned already, but a Holy Spirit only comes to those that are saved, to a saved individual. That person that has, as it says in verse 16 to the tail end of that verse, that ye may abide with you forever, that he may abide with you forever. He is going to be with us, abide with us. But if you're not saved, boy, get that matter settled. Salvation, such an important thing. Number one, I see, though, that the Holy Spirit is an individual. A Holy Spirit is an individual. That's the who, a Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the Godhead. That's who the Holy Spirit. The Bible often refers to the Holy Spirit as he or him. In fact, John 16:8 says, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will come. It is he that's coming back. It's God, the Father God, they're coming. He is coming, but he put the Holy Spirit as an individual. You say, what areas does he do that? Well, he moves in an individual's life. He moves. He stirs that individual. Boy, has God ever moved in your life? Has the Holy Spirit ever worked on some things? Boy, I know whenever there's a time when things are just not going right. I've done something I shouldn't have done. And it just seems like there's one thing after the next. It just does not seem like things are going well. And the Holy Spirit's working and I'm just not listening. I'm like that kid with, you know, his ears or his fingers in his ears saying, Lord, I can't hear you. Sometimes I think that's what we do, whether we know it or not. I know I do. And I just, God, are you moving? Is there something that you're not saying or that I'm not getting that I missed? And that's the time we can come to the altar and say, God, help us with this. I know you're moving. I know you're working. I think another area about the Holy Spirit as an individual is he's also excited. Boy, there's nothing like a Spirit-filled service. The preaching of God, the singing of God, it gets exciting. Man, that's enjoyable. Coming to a service that's dead, lethargic. I wouldn't ask you, Brother Potter, but I'm sure there's probably on deputation those you're like, man, move on to the next one. Let's keep going. The Holy Spirit gets inside somebody. It excites them. Put something down in them. Hey, as much as we can get excited about a ball game or about something else that really doesn't matter, we should be able to get excited about what God's done for us. He's done something for you that this world can't touch. He's hopefully gotten you to a point of excitement. There's some other things that aren't so good. We can also grieve him. We can also quench him. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed in the day of redemption. 1 Thessalonians, pastor preached on this a while back. 5:19, quench not the Spirit. Isaiah 63:10, but they vexed his Holy Spirit. Lord, there's an error. I want to grieve the Spirit of God. That's my fear when I come to a service on Sunday is, man, that someone that's being convicted by Spirit of God, I did something to hinder them from coming to this altar. Or maybe even not going further and witnessing and giving somebody to quench that Spirit of God working in their life. I could have said something, but I didn't. The Holy Spirit of God's working on them. That's why pastor gets on us sometimes about leaving and doing things like that. It's church time. We're supposed to be engaged in the church service for the Holy Spirit to work in the life of a lost soul. We shouldn't quench that Spirit. He wants to work. I see number two and three is about what the Holy Spirit is. And I'll quickly give. The Holy Spirit is up to date. He's up to date. This isn't something that he just cited years and thousands of years before, but he's relative right now. And he can be relative, not just in the passage of scripture we read tonight, but he can be relative 2021, March 31st, right now. He's up to date. He's there for us. He said that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. What a promise. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Looking back at those verses in 16 and 17, I see the words there like abide, forever, dwelleth. Man, those things are relative. Abide. He and me and I and him, we, my spirit bear witness with his spirit. We're the child of his. Abiding forever, not just for forever. Long as we're here on this earth. Aren't you thankful also that we can't lose it? I'd hate to think some folks, even religion, this area, got to work. I'm still working on it. Brother, I, you know, knock on their door. I'm still working on it. You're going to keep working on it because God already did it. It's done. It's already happened. It's settled. Praise the Lord. And then it dwelleth with us. It's a part of us. I got to hurry, skipping some things. But Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Well, the Spirit of God, he's there for some things that sometimes we can't talk about. Infirmities, there's something going on with family, your own life, kids, work, whatever it is. The Spirit of God knows. He's there. He's working. He's a part. I see number three along with the what, he's mighty. He is mighty. I got to hurry. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might of his spirit in the inner man. Boy, the Spirit of God, what happens, anything that happens for the spiritual good in our lives for the Father is accomplished by the Holy Spirit of God. He left. We have the Spirit of God. That's who's with us right now. Too often I'm reluctant to give acknowledgement to him before I begin tasks in my life. How about you? Sometimes it's just, I got to get this done. Hurry. Go. We fail sometimes to realize what the Holy Spirit can really do in the situation. We cry out for the big things, but we forget about the daily things. Holy Spirit, go before me today. There might be a task. There might be something. It's beyond my control. I need you to help me today. I need that for today. And, you know, I see in those verses as well some things that are pretty specific, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. That part right there just blows me away. Because if it was on my own $5 and change, I couldn't get it done. But according to his riches, remember, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns it all. He's got the biggest bank account. There's nobody else before him. God owns it. So the riches we can go to him for. Trying to skip some things around. God has no limit on that bank account because he's mighty. Another verse, Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Hey, he also can go before us. He's mighty. Some of the times we go out soul winning, visiting people, and we get a situation where we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. He'll help us with that. The Holy Spirit can help you. There's times where I thought, how did I remember that verse? I haven't been thinking about that verse in forever. Or I hear somebody else, and they'll say the same thing. Boy, the Holy Spirit allowed that to happen. He brought that around. And then I'll leave you with this, the where. He's persistent inside of us. He's persistent. He's never going to leave us alone. He's going to drive that thing. You ever know somebody that's just persistent in anything they do? I mean, everything they do, they're just methodical, and it's just, they're persistent. You know, I don't know if you have any family like this, but I've got some family members that they remember all the bad things as I was a kid. I mean, they're just, anything that comes up, it's never one of those fond memories. Like, hey, remember when I was? Yeah, remember. Yes, I remember that happening. It seems like they're persistent in that area for some reason. I don't know what it is. But anyway, some of those, if you will, they just won't leave you alone. How about the child that continues to be persistent in asking? Maybe you have one like this. Persistent in asking, Mom, Dad, can I have this? Can you do this for me? Can I have this? Well, the Holy Spirit is that in a good way. It's a good thing. Hey, he's persistent because he's not going to. Remember you said you were going to go help somebody with that. Remember you're going to go take a track over to your neighbor over there. Do you remember that you said that? That's right. You're right. I got to go. He ain't going to leave you alone. That's a good thing. Praise the Lord for that. He declares us guilty of our offense. John 16, flip over, I'm done with this. John 16, verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you, verse 7, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of the righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Then over to verse 33, same chapter. Finish with this. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He that's in you greater than he that's in the world. Boy, what a great thought about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he indwells us. He's in us. He comforts us. He can be a comforter. But too many times I feel like we push him aside. I know I do sometimes. Maybe just a reminder tonight, where are we at? Where are you at? Forgotten about what the Holy Spirit or who the Holy Spirit is, what he does, where he's at? Maybe it's just time to get to the altar and just remember. I remember when that happened. Boy, I remember back to some services where the Holy Spirit moved. I want Him to do it again. We're coming to revival fires. We had a revival not too long ago. We had a few saved here over Pilots. God, will You do it again? Holy Spirit, Comforter, can You help us? Maybe it's a problem that's beyond your control. Maybe it's a family member that's facing just some insurmountable thing that you think there's no way they can get out of this. Holy Spirit, God of heaven, can help. He can do the impossible. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes tonight. If you'll stand with me, bow your heads and close your eyes. Where are you tonight? Maybe it's in the area that you've just forgotten about the Holy Spirit as an individual, how He can work. Remember, He's up to date. He's not going to leave you. Who He is, what He is, and where He is tonight. As the pianist plays, the altar's open. It's time to come do business with God.